Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is the 27th of September. It is a Thursday, September the 27th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. We have myself and Keith, Pastor Keith is in studio, and we have a special guest, his brother's in the studio as well. So we're going to definitely have a great, great show for you all today. So if you'd like to get in on a conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to engage in Tando Radio Show's live show today. And looking forward to the show. And today's show is going to be the governmental let me move this down real quick. Governmental deprived path through judicious command is what today's show is. Basically, they're crazy, and we are following this, and it's not good. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. But before we get into today's show, everyone, please continue to support this network, and you can do that by going to the website and making a financial donation to this overall network so that it can stay on air. You can find the home website for this network, a Black Talk Radio Network, is www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. www.blacktalkradionetwork.com is the website. So definitely go there and check out the website and then make a monetary donation so that you can ensure that this network is here. Also, you can support the network by being a part of its social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is where you can go and get into a social media platform that is not going to adversely affect you like the other mainstream ones. So your identity will never be sold, and you can actually use it to actually benefit you and your overall family. Monetarily, you could post things that are significant and important to you, or post things that are significant that you think are significant and important that the general public should know. You could do that very easily there by being a member on BTR Community. Just make sure that your postings, of course, there is a what's reasonable and prudent is definitely taken into effect there. So make sure you definitely do that. So you can support the network there. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, then don't hesitate. Go to Prosperity Mint's website, and that's www.prosperitymint.com, all one word, prosperity, then the word mint, mint.com. Check out what's in inventory, then email Prosperity Mint at info@prosperitymint.com and say, hey, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener, Dave sent me, and then just leave a way to contact you, and someone will contact you so that they can explain to you the overall process of buying. It is not going to be used for a sales call to where you're going to continuously get information and calls. That is not going to be done there. And if you reach out there, then make sure that you respond to the overall emails, okay? All right, so with that being said, we're going to jump into today's show. We're going to jump into it from the standpoint of what's in the news. I just want to thank all of you that posted stuff and what's in the news. My man Roz, my man Carlos sent me some things. Jambone sent me some things that I wasn't able to actually post in. I'm going to tell you, if you are on Tando, if you are a BTR community member, you can go on the Tando website and definitely great articles by OG. Thank you so much. You could go on the website. Excuse me. You could go into our page inside of BTR community. Just hit Tando Radio Show. David W. Tando Radio Show. Go in there, and then you could post some things under there, that thread that you think that we should be highlighting or taking a look at, and I definitely will and greatly appreciate it. All right, so here we go. We're going to start off with what's in the news. First article got from Reuters, and my man Carlos sent this to me. Thanks, Carlos. But yesterday I was hearing celebrity figurehead Trump's speech, and the whole time I was like, wow, this is really, really bad. And what the system is doing, this is why we named today's show the governmental depraved path to judicial command, because that's what they do. It is really a sick way in which they establish judicial command over people, and it's something that we have to break. It doesn't matter what the vote is. It really matters what the overall depraved path to judicial control is. And that is the system itself, and that is what keeps us in the positions that we have been in. And we are looking for a lead that is going to continue to lead us to all-out destruction. And that path has to be broken by you and I. So I'm hearing this celebrity figurehead yesterday, and I heard him at the UN Security Council, then the press conference after. Then I heard him at the UN the day before. The whole time, the picture is really, really clear that the purge against the U.S. is in full effect. And it's going to adversely impact you, your family, and our overall community, especially those that won't be prepared. And so, we have to get on board with this. So check out that article where Trump, and here's what, and we're probably going to come back to this, and this was a bold face, but I'm going to come back to this article, really good article, and I'm going to just tell you what the article. Trump says he learned about Syria's Idlib providence from a supporter at a recent rally. And I heard him say this yesterday, and I was just amazed. We're going to feature some of this in today's show. So we'll come back to this article. Very, very important, significant article that is there. Okay, so next article. Roz posted this one from Freedom Outpost. Government will soon spend more on interest on our debt than bloated military budget. They'll be spending more on the interest on the debt, meaning that the overall principal of the debt won't even be touched. Basically, you are completely bankrupt when you can only afford to pay the interest. What comes after that is that you're insolvent. Really, when you can only afford to pay the interest, you already insolvent, and that is going to definitely happen. So great article by Raj from Freedom Outpost. Government will soon spend more on interest on our debt than the bloated military budget. Check out that article. Next article, got this one from RT Russia Today. U.S. has to come to terms with this place in the world, just as the Brits did when its empire collapsed. So true. U.S. has to come to terms with this place in the world, just as Britain had to do when its empire collapsed. So true. Check out that article. Next article I got from altmarket.com. the everything bubble when it finally crashes, the everything bubble when it finally crashes, and that's talking mainly about the overall economic standing of the U.S. dollar and its overall economic, its currency influence and its currency flow. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. This one is from Sputnik News. China and the EU can jointly counter protectivism, former French prime minister says. Yes, that's the overall path. The rest of the world is going to be turning against the U.S. And from the just the paradigm of the so-called the U.S. And not the U.S. Or one government over another, this is all of them are in a big fraternity, in my opinion, together. But just from this standpoint of looking at it from a governmental standpoint, why wouldn't the rest of the world finally realize that the U.S. is the real pariah and the real parasite that is actually stealing everything from them and have been doing it for so long and bullying them and by threats of violence, which is basically robbery. They are actually seizing things from countries by force and by fear. That is a robbery. So the rest of the world is starting to take notice of that, and taking notice of that, the so-called allies of the U.S. are now starting to remove themselves or to segregate themselves away from the U.S. and move in a different direction. And that direction is that they're actually moving and positioning themselves against the U.S. And that is what's unfolding there. Next article got from RT International is, and this one is, when will the U.S. learn its lesson? Highlights from the U.N. Security Council meeting chaired by celebrity figurehead Donald Trump. He arrived late and left early. That's exactly what he did. He arrived late and left early. But otherwise, celebrity figurehead Donald Trump was afforded enough moonlighting chair of the U.N. Security Council. The same cannot be said for the speeches delivered by the members, including himself. And if you listen to what he said yesterday, oh my goodness, we'll touch on some of that. Very, very, it's just a situation that we all need to prepare for. Next article came from The Independent. Celebrity French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron rejects the trade deal with countries outside of the Paris climate. Basically, this is France basically saying that they are no longer an ally of the U.S. And so check out that article. And it says, Emmanuel Macron announced France will no longer accept commercial agreements with countries that do not respect the Paris Climate Accord during a fiery speech at the U.N.'s General Assembly. See, this is the purge that I was talking about for the past couple of years, that you're going to start to see countries turn away from the U.S. And then now they're going to treat them like they did Germany once the fascist and the cultive religious group of the Nazis took over that country. They are going to go to war against the U.S. So check out that article. It's all being set forth. Next article from, I got this one from the anti-media, five reasons to support a total ban of nuclear weapons today. And a total ban of nuclear weapons is essential, meaning the U.S. can't tell other people who can and can't have nuclear weapons when you have it. Absolutely not. And remember, the U.S. is the only nation to ever use a nuclear device, two nuclear devices in an act of aggression, in an act of violence. Just because they were at war with Japan, what they did was in dropping those two nuclear devices, that was really an act of terrorism that they executed with those devices. It was, and what happens is that many of us, you know, go blind to the fact and saying we excuse them for using it because you say that it was during war. But no, the reason being is because when Japan attacked the U.S., they attacked a military installation. They didn't attack the civilians. When the U.S. dropped those two nuclear devices on those cities, they were attacking individuals that had nothing to do with the overall declaration of war. They purposely did that to be able to use that as a act of terrorism against the rest of the world so that they would all cow down and bow down to the U.S. That was the real act of terrorism. So before the U.S. can even talk about a terrorist state or fighting terrorism, then the first thing that they need to do is slit their own throat. So check out that article. Next article we got, and this one is significant. This one comes from Press TV. The EU, the European Union, Iran payment channel likely to start by November. Here it is, September, October, November, in 2 months. So what does that mean? That means that the overall petrodollar and the reserve currency status of the U.S. dollar will be completely lost. This is why it's so significant that what's happening in the world, we need to show. What's happening here is the EU is saying, guess what? We are no longer an ally of the U.S. We are going to make contracts and business relationships outside of the interest of the U.S. We are not going to be strong-armed by the middleman of the U.S. anymore. And that is means an act of war, because what it is going to lead to is a currency war that leads to trade wars, that leads to shooting wars. First you attack the currency, then you go to trade, then you attack militarily. And this is what's going to happen. They are not, in the past, the EU would always go lockstep, and Germany and France would go lockstep with whatever the U.S. says. They're not doing that anymore. They're making relations with the so-called enemy of the U.S. Remember, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So now they're saying, the enemy of my enemy, I need to be friends with. And guess who that is? If you listen to anything that celebrity figurehead Trump said in all of his presentations, he actually called out Iran, China, Russia as basically enemies of the U.S. and Venezuela. Didn't want to forget Venezuela. So check out that article. And what I did is that, and I think, Keith, you and your brother would really appreciate this one. I actually had in light of that, I want to play something real quickly, and it's from this article. Here it is. Iran's payment channel likely to start by November. The EU foreign ministry chief said that the bloc initiative to facilitate payments from Iran as part of the effort to save the 2015 nuclear deal could be in place before November, when the U.S. is to reimpose the second batch of its anti-Iran sanctions. So what is the EU saying? That's okay, Iran. If they're going to sanction you, don't worry. We're going to set up a payment system where we're going to pay you. So what is that going to do to the U.S. sanctions? It nullifies them. Completely nullifies them. And I just want to play something really quickly that I think that this, what this means for the U.S. economy, for the U.S. Dollar hegemony, which basically the dollar hegemony means that it's the one that dictates policy. It's the one that has preceding preference on everything. It's the one that everyone uses. I want to go back to, and there was a something from my childhood. I remember this from my childhood, and it was a very, very famous sporting event that happened. And I think that this goes right along with what the EU just did to the U.S. And so I want to, oh shoot, that's not it. 1 second, let me pull it up real quick, because I think it goes right along with what is significant here. Hold on 1 second. Let me just get it squared away here. And I want y'all to hear this. I think this is really synonymous to what just happened, what the EU just did to the U.S. Here we go.
Anshi Dundee, Ali's trainer, right next to me is saying, and you may hear him, down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory 8 count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is Anshi Dundee, Ali.
So I wanted to play that because I think that was, hold on, I got some problems here. 1 second. I wanted to play that because I think that was synonymous with what just happened and what's happening to the U.S. The former heavyweight champ is now down, and the rest of the world is in a neutral corner poised to take it completely out. Down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier. That was from my childhood, a sporting event that I watched and was really a all in on and everything else, and I never forget hearing Howard Cosell say, down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier. Well, what the EU just did to the U.S. is that it just basically knocked the U.S. completely out, and this is not going to change. It won't do like Frazier and get back up and be able to continue on. It's over. So check out that. I just thought that was, you know, pretty cool. For when I read that, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, oh my goodness. So we'll talk about that. Next article from A Times, Asian Times. Rise posted this: no laughing matter. Trump's speech threatens world order and peace. Absolutely, so true. And we got some other stuff with that. Also from the Asian Times that Rise posted: Trump's darkest days so far. Check out that article. And Rise also posted from Asian Times, which is known as A Times: India is the key to the success of Trump's Iranian sanctions, which is very important for some of the things that we posted today. So true. Next article goes right along with Rise posted from Asian Times. I got this one from oilprice.com. And all of these articles are meant for you to go back and do some of your own due diligence, come up with your own assessments, your own opinions, because this information is not being brought forth to you at all on mainstream media here. This is from oilprice.com. India builds up its strategic oil reserves. It's not only India that's building up its strategic oil reserves. The U.S. is, China is, Russia is, Iran is, and India, they are. Most of the major nations are building up their strategical oil reserves. Now, why do you think that they're building up their strategical oil reserves? Because they know that oil is going to be interrupted in the overall World War III that is going to happen. So they have to have those oil reserves on hand. So that is a read between the lines. Next article I got from Sputnik News. Laughed at the UN. Punched in, I don't know what that is, the SM. German minister slams Trump's for America's first agenda. So check out that article. Check out that article. Next article from The Hill, and this was critical. This is what celebrity figurehead Trump said yesterday. This is from The Hill. Trump on laughter during the UN speech. They weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me. And we're going to talk about this is critical. Next article from Global Times. This is a Chinese publication, one of their official Chinese publication. China calls for a joint effort to safeguard improving situations on the Korean Peninsula. China calls for joint efforts. Who do you think that they're calling on a joint efforts from? The joint efforts of Russia, the joint efforts of the BRIC nations, the joint efforts of the ASEAN nations to safeguard improving situations on the North Korean Peninsula. Why are they doing that? Because they're going to kick the U.S. out. And so they need to have joint efforts to safeguard Korea. It will no longer be North and South Korea. It's going to be just Korea. And that's going to be a economic military powerhouse. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Venezuela's Maduro rejects U.S. interventionism. Check out that. He was basically lambasting the U.S. for interfering in other countries' affairs and destabilizing them, and calls for dictator rule from the U.S. They always talk about other countries being dictators, having dictators, because they want to be able to dictate with the overall resources of that country where they will go, and that will go to their overall spoils. Check out that article. Rich controls everyone. Next article, almost done here. We got from CNBC. Companies are, listen, this is very, very important. From CNBC, Criminals, Nothing But Criminals Network. Companies are warning about declining profits, which could mean trouble for this bull market. And that is going to show its face in the retail space, ladies and gentlemen. So check out that article. Next article from Times of Israel. My man Carlos sent this to me. Thank you, Carlos. Netanyahu said, Trump gave me guarantees about freedom of Israeli operations in Syria. Keith almost falls out his chair. That's war, ladies and gentlemen. That is war, because Russia is actively putting up a no-fly zone, and they're going to defend it with some very sophisticated anti-aircraft technology, and it's going to lead into a full-blown, all-out confrontation. Next article from Reuters. U.S.-China trade war dims Asia's 2019 growth outlook. The ADB says, the ADB is the Asian Development Bank. And what they're saying is that the trade war is going to now affect China's, the Asian growth, meaning put it in a recession. And let me tell you what that means. They're going to be ready to go to war over that. Okay, they're going to be ready to go to war. Next article, Rise, posted from South China Morning Post. U.S.-China trade war puts Hong Kong at risk. Next article, Rise, posted from the South China Morning Post. China, U.S. military ties may be in a downward spiral for a long time. Next article, Rise, posted from Mint. Global watchdog takes Saudi Arabia to task over terrorism financing. That's basically, yeah, they've been financing the U.S. And so that is what's in the news. Is a bunch of, well, let me, there's a couple of other things. How much time we got? All right, cool, we got time. Rise also posted, World Bank's Israel start warning about Gaza's economic collapse. So true. You got that from the Mint, mintpress.com. Rise posted from the Mint Press News, the battle for your mind. And Rod said, I talked about this subject years ago in an essay and wrote about it. It's even more relevant now. So true, Rod. Next article Rod's got from Wake Up World. Studies find antidepressants to be deeply ineffective. Yes. Next one, Rod's posted from Wake Up World. Just 300 grams of blueberries protects against DNA damage in humans. Just 300 grams of blueberries protects against DNA damage in humans. Make sure those are non-GMO blueberries without pesticide as much as you possibly can. Good, great article that's there. Also, there's a couple of things my man Monty OG had posted, and he posted Saudi Arabia begins the construction of petrol pipeline through Yemen. Boy, it's going to be problems. Very, very important article that Monty posted. This was from NBC, Nothing But Criminal News. Federal Reserve's approves this third rate hike of the year. Keith, you had called and told me about that. That is really a kiss of death for the U.S. economy right there. Remember, the debt is really high. So best way to think about it is that if your debt is high, and then let's say your credit card debt is at one thing, is at this max, and then your credit card company now calls and say, hey, we're raising your interest rate. What does that mean for you? You already got to pay more on what you can't afford already. What does that do to you? It makes you insolvent and puts you into bankruptcy. So check out that. Next article from Mint Press, OG pointed, China blocks U.S. request for Hong Kong port visit. So that's what's in the news. We need to get into today's show at any time. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for today's show. And quickly, what I want to do is I want to start with playing something from do I want to do that? No. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into – I don't know if I want to keep – all right. So what I'm going to do, today's show – really need to take I hope that you all were able to listen to celebrity figurehead Trump's UN speech, Security Council speech, and then the after the news conference that he had. And it was really, really bad. And it shows how we are really, really manipulated. And some of the articles, I want to read this article really quickly from Reuters. And this was from, I heard celebrity figurehead Trump yesterday. Pastor Keith called me and said, hey, listen to this press conference that celebrity figurehead Trump is about to have. And listen to it, and it was very, very telling. And I want to give you just my interpretation. It may not be your interpretation of what that entailed and what that meant. And it is very, very significant in my opinion, because it is really outlining what's going to be happening and what's to come. So the article, I want to go with my man Carlos sent me the article, and I was hearing this yesterday, and just want to give you my thoughts. Here we go. This is from Reuters. Trump says he learns about Syria's Idlib providence, they didn't put the word providence, from supporters at a recent rally. U.S. President celebrity figurehead Trump suggested on yesterday, he never heard of the rebel-held Syrian region of Idlib under threat from Syrian government and Russian forces until a supporter brought it up in a recent rally about a month ago. And about a month ago, this is September, so in August is when he first heard about Idlib, right? The United States, let's move this down. The United Nations says close to 3 million people live in the area, which also has thousands of Islamic fighters, which warned of humanitarian crisis if the events of an offensive by the government-backed forces and supported by Russia, government-backed forces that has been in a pipeline for several months. And the word pipeline is significant because the Idlib province is very significant in establishing and maintaining the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. A Russian-Turkey agreement last week saved off a threatening government attack by agreeing to create a demilitarization zone between the insurgents and the government forces in the northwest. Why? Wise move, because Russia was able to get all of the necessary military assets in Syria before they went all out, because they know it's going to turn into an all-out war. Speaking at a news conference in New York, Trump took credit for convincing Russia and Iran and Syria to hold off on the attack after he warned them on September the 4th. Now, those of you that listen to Tando Radio Show know that we've been talking about the Idlib province this whole summer, way before. But a Twitter post that would be making a grave humanitarian mistake to take part in a potential human tragedy. Syria's a mess, and I was responsible for stopping the offensive, is what Trump said. And I hope it stays that way, he said. When I put on social media a few weeks ago about the Idlib problems, I said I didn't do it. Oh, he said don't do it. Sorry. Trump went on to explain how he just learned about the situation in the province after a woman in the crowd at the rally brought it up. I was at a meeting with lots of supporters, and a woman stood up and she said that there is a province in Syria with 3 million people right now. The Iranians, Russians, and Syrians are surrounding that province and are going to kill my sister and kill millions of people in order to get rid of 25,000 or 30,000 terrorists. Let me stop there. You remember when celebrity figurehead Bush used that little girl in the Iraq war to say that the Iraqi soldiers were going through the hospitals and were suffocating and killing the babies? And that was actually a official from the Kuwait government daughter. That was all a lie. This is the exact same tactic that they're using here that they use there, because it works so well. That was a lie, that there was no Iraqi soldiers going through the hospital and going to the overall to the nursery and killing the babies that was there. That was the propaganda that the U.S. was using as a furtherance to go to have an invasion of war, because they knew where everything was going to be going in the future. This is that same lie that is happening here. And I'm going to tell you why this is a big lie. So wait a minute, celebrity figurehead Trump, you're caught in a lie. So So this is the first time that a woman gets up and talks to you about Syria, where you have military operations ongoing in Syria, and you're getting military briefings from the Joint Chief of Staff every day about the overall situation, the movement of troops and assets by the Russians, by the Syrians and the Iranians and the Turkish, all in that province, all that's on the overall border of Golden Heights. You lie, you lie, you lie. But the thing is that we don't know, we don't know, we don't know, which makes us exposed, and makes us exposed. There's no way in the world that a celebrity figurehead president could say that they didn't know with anybody that knows how that really works. So basically, what is he doing? He is lying. And this because of this lie, by this and because of how naive the general population is here, they don't even think to see what this really means. This is really a setup for the war. It's a lie. There's no way in the world he didn't know about Idlib, didn't know about the Providence. It borders almost the Golden Heights. There's no way in the world he didn't know. And if he didn't know, which I already know, he's incompetent as a person. But see, the system selected him. Nobody voted him in. Anybody that ever votes, your vote means nothing, because how do you know who's counting the vote? You're leaving that to blind faith to individuals that this person is actually taking orders from. This is why we're in this position. There's no way in the world that this could be true. And it's a bold-faced lie, and not one reporter there called him on that. The Joint Chief of Staff, Dunford, was there himself. There's no way in the world. See, this is propaganda that's going to lead to the demise of our children. This is how our children get sent off to war, and this time they're going to send our daughters off to war, and they're not coming back. No matter what their condition is, they're either going to come back in a coffin, completely broken, but they're not coming back. Even if they come back physically, what they're going to endure in that overall war zone, they're going to die in that war zone. And we have to get in tune to truth to prevent this type of governance from happening throughout the world. The man said that he'd never heard about it until this woman said something to him. Then he went on to the New York Times and read the article and said, oh, that's what the lady was talking about. Let me go on. Here's what he said. I said that's not going to happen. I didn't hear of the La Providence. I came back and picked up the falling New York Times and opened it. He was saying the New York Times is falling because they don't agree with him. This dude is completely narcissistic. And on the front page, but there was a very big story, and I said, wow, that's the same story the woman told me. And I found it hard to believe, and I said, how would anyone do that? Trump said the story had indicated that the offensive could start the next day. And so he wrote in his Twitter post and gave orders to his team, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, the White House National Security Advisor John Bolton, not to let it happen. That didn't mean that they couldn't be selective, but don't kill millions of people. It stopped. Nobody is going to give me credit, but that's okay because the people know, but I have had more Syrians thank me for that. This was about 4 weeks ago. I put that out, Trump said. Other Western leaders, including the French President Emmanuel Macron, has also claimed that the coordination public rhetoric calling on Syria and its allies to stop the offenses played a role in convincing them to back down. Here's the problem with that whole thing. As I said, there's no way in the world. The man is lying. And these lies are going to get your children killed, get our community killed, get us in a position to where economically those that are unprepared are going to be the overall roadkill for those that are going to have a wealth transfer where everything will leave this country and will go to others. This is a complete – there's nowhere in the world that lady informed Trump about that Proverbs of what's going on. What happened to the daily military briefings from the Joint Chief of Staff about in the intelligence community that he's supposed to get every day? And this isn't the, and if you go back, this isn't the first time, this is not the first time that he's, that it has actually been spoken about in a public forum. So the credibility is not there, and this is why this credibility is not there, because what they want to do is they want to have celebrity figurehead Trump go as the fall guy, as the pansy. This man is not making any decisions, but what they want to do is they want to have the perfect fall guy so that the people will say, yeah, it was all Trump's fault. But when in actuality, the real fault is the overall governance pattern system of control is being invoked here. Indeed. See, these individuals read a script. They don't make any determination of anything. And until we realize what is really ailing and threatening us, we're going to continue to have many more Trumps to follow him. They're going to have different faces, different names, different genders, but they will all be the same. They will be celebrity figureheads that are going to continue to lead you and I and our community and our families to a destructive subjugation of the system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, when they talking about their humanitarian concerns, if there's a major offensive launched on Idlib, I had heard estimates of 10,000 possible jihadists. I just heard from you, it may be about 30,000. And if they're acting like how they've acted in some of the videos we've seen when they were in parts of Iraq and just terrorizing the citizens, you know what I'm saying, the non-combatants and what have you, I mean, are they not concerned about those people in there? But if they were so concerned about humanitarian, you know, these people, then they would have never funded the so-called rebels to begin with. The UK and the British, they would have never started it. They would have never tried to overthrow Syria. Look at Libya now. What was the humanitarian concern for? Well, yeah, you know, Obama said, oh, we got to go in there. He's killing his own people, when really he was killing jihadists that was killing his people. But then, you know, you go in there and now look at the country. And they don't seem to be too concerned about it now. And you know, it's basically a bunch of sectarian violence going on in Libya right now. So whenever they talk about humanitarian, the U.S. government talks about humanitarian concerns, don't believe it. Just don't believe it. Because if they, I mean, look at Iraq. Saddam didn't have nothing to do with 9/11. Okay, and as a result, over 1 million Iraqis are dead, estimated, because of that action. All right, and probably more than that in the years following because of the different, you know, bombings and things of that nature. Have you noticed that the administration isn't even on the same page? You got Bolton. The same day that Trump gave his UN speech saying that, hey, we're going to stay in Syria as long as Iran is in Syria, and saying Iran needs to stay within Iranian borders. And I'm like, listen to this dictator, this, right. This killer. You know what I'm saying? Here you the one illegally in Syria. Iran was invited in Syria, and then you're saying that we're, you know, you're basically saying the mission in Syria is to confront Iran, Iranian troops and what have you. But then the military leaders said that, no, despite what Bolton said, we're only there because of the terrorists. We're there to fight terror. So you get mixed messages from the administration. And I was wondering if you hadn't noticed that.
Heck yeah. And that mixed message.
My bad, Dave. I muted you. I was trying to mute myself. Okay, start over.
No. You're good. Scotty, you're absolutely right. And that mixed message is purposely being done for confusion. They purposely want that to be put into place because they're using the leverage. Believe me, behind closed door, they know exactly what's going to come. They know the date that everything is going, what they're going to do, and they know that they are the springboard to this World War III jumping off in its full-blown presentation. And so they're sending out messages purposely, because this is why they're doing. They're seeing, they're testing what traction they can get by the message that they put out. Which message is going to get them the most influence? What message is going to get them what they want? And by putting out those missed messages, it's just like sending your overall spies in different directions. And then send them in different directions, you can see which one is going to be more beneficial to you by the reaction to what the spies in the overall territories are, the spies out in the field, what they're able to, the momentum that they're able to accomplish. So this is a tactic that they use, and it's a tactic that shows you something, that there's a confusing conflict that is about to happen, and they're going to use that to their advantage to try to propagandize the overall outcome of that conflict to benefit them.
Hey,
so yes,
question,
Scotty, I noticed
Dave.
The overall what you did, the missed messages that's happening there, and they're all concerted and constrife, because if you look at the individuals that are giving the missed messages, they're so-called high-level individuals within the office, where they all meet together and come to a consensus, and then they get their job. This is what you're going to say. This is what you're going to do. The defense minister, Secretary of Defense, the Treasury Secretary, they all say different things at different times in different ways, and that's purposely being done.
Hey, I have one more question. I started not really following, but consuming some of the information that Alex Jones was putting out back in 1999. He has a little British buddy by the name of, what's that dude's name? His name just left me. Anyway, he has a little British buddy who put out a book called Order Out of Chaos. And I would encourage anyone to try to find that book. You can find it online. It's actually a very good book. It is documented. You know, it has all the footnotes and stuff where he got the information from. And that, you know, that really kind of opened up my eyes to the things that was being done behind the scenes. But Alex Jones, you know, for decades now, he's been talking about the globalists and the globalists. Well, he's been banned from Twitter. But the British guy is running his Prison Planet Twitter account. And so on there the other day, he was praising Trump because they love Trump. And they were saying that, oh, Trump just put the globalists on notice with his UN speech. With the, you know, he was talking about respect our sovereignty and all this and that of America and what have you. And it just occurred to me, and I said this to him. I said, you know, really, it's the United States government that's acting as the globalists, because they're the ones who are in all these different countries who are if they're not attacking you, they bribing you to get you to bend to their will. And you know, even Ron Paul has talked about the United States can't be policing the world. This isn't any of our business. Nobody appointed us to be the world police and all this and that. And I was like, you know, it's really the shadow government of the U.S., all the corporations that benefit from the policies, all the think tanks, you know, that write policy and influence, you know, lawmakers. And I said, they're the real globalists. They're the ones that's trying to dictate to the rest of the globe. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah. You know, Scotty, yes, and the real, it's never been a new world order. It's always been the same world order. The same world order is all off of the franchise of government. They are in the fraternity of government. And the U.S. right now is going to be used as that tool and vessel to make sure that the system is never questioned. They are going to have a institution in the system go down. They're going to have, and then what they do is just kind of, in my opinion, The United States represents an institution that the system of governance has put into place to maintain control over people all over the world. The form of government is able to divide. This is why you have borders, you got colors of flag, you have nationalism, you have a nationalistic culture, what is absolutely against the culture of individual people. There's two. See, there's the culture of people, then there's a culture of nationalism. The culture of nationalism in the U.S. is that the U.S. is the almighty empire with the richest empire in the world that gives you the most freedom and is the best place to live, and it has the most strongest military, and it is the beacon of freedom that the world should follow. See, that's the culture, the false culture that is established in this nationalistic idol worship that the world has been taught to practice that form of religion. But then there's a culture of people, and a culture of people and a culture of nations is two different things. And this culture of nations is exactly where the shadow governments reside, where the shadow governments, what I mean by the shadow governments, and I wouldn't say there's so much that they're the influence, the agenda of the government that is used when things are appropriate for them to rear their ugly face. And so that's what I'm really seeing. I totally agree. There is a segment of the government, and the thing is that it's not, I don't say the shadow, I really say it's the overall presence of the real intentions of the government.
Yeah, you're right, and Dave. I agree with that, because they're not in the shadows. They're not. You can look up these organizations. You can find out who runs them, who's on staff, who funds them. So, you know, that's just a term that's frequently used. But you're right.
Yeah.
They're not really in the shadows. If you want to know who they is, all you got to do is look up them. You know what I'm saying? That's all you got to do. They have names. These are real individuals. When you say something like, and I agree, I shouldn't use that term. When you say something like shadow government, it makes it sound like all spooky and ominous and you know what I'm saying? When no, they got names, man. They got names. There's names to these organizations that's running, you know, these governments, and they're doing it on a global level. But I just wanted to add, Paul Joseph Watson is the guy's name. Now, I told him, he didn't lost all credibility with me. But if you can find that book online in PDF form, you won't have to pay for it. It's called Order Out of Chaos by Paul Joseph Watson. And it's a masterpiece of work. But he didn't sold his soul. He didn't sold his soul for Trumpism.
Because that's what the system does, is that The nationalistic culture develops the dividing influence that will divide people from what's really happening. And they use this propaganda. That's why propaganda is so important and so meaningful. So, yeah, definitely check that out. And it's right there. So we need to know these things and really conceptualize them. Well, how does this affect me, my family, in our community? It affects you in every single way. We just accept what they do. They can do whatever they want. We will always accept it. I'm hoping that one day we will say, no, enough is enough. We draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I know where you're leading this. I know where this is going. Do we really want to go there? It's not worth me going there, because that's not who I am. And the thing is that we have to prepare to have real relevance in order to move ourselves in a way that we can momentumize, where it won't affect us anymore. It can be done. These people and these entities will this to happen, meaning they put energy behind that direction. We need to do the exact same thing, but in an opposite way, in a more benevolent way. So definitely that stuff is really, really here. So what I want to do is that in talking about that, and from yesterday when he talked about not knowing that this stuff is happening, he just heard about this. That bold-faced lie is very, very concerning and disheartening from this standpoint. The whole country is about to go into war because of that. And what I mean by the whole country is. There were outages of Verizon that were all over the place a couple of days ago. Some banks have had some outages lately. When this war kicks off, remember what Russia said. They are going to use communication, radar, and electronic devices to disable their adversary. Well, how do you best disable your adversary is that you take the overall fight to their overall country. They're going to destabilize everything here. Now, I'm not saying that it's just going to be the U.S. government itself may do that, and to get everybody under the nationalistic culture of we need to go and fight the Russians, and everybody, you know, be so patriotic to say, yeah, we need to go do this, and then they just created an environment through a false flag that you are actually fighting their agenda. See, what they're doing is they're instigating you to do something that's going to benefit them and is going to adversely hurt you and your family. You won't be able to rebound from this. And what they're going to get in return of that is that they're going to be exceedingly wealthy and have control over resources, and they're going to be able to enslave you even more. Slavery is always about controlling energy. When someone is able to control your energy, they become your master. And this is what needs to change. And so that's why this whole thing is so deadly dangerous.
They listen, say that one more
go
time.
To a commercial break. When we come back out of the commercial break, Scotty, if you give me 2 minutes,
hey,
we
Dave,
come back out of the commercial break.
Dave,
yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
We got a couple of minutes for the break, but just to reiterate what I just said the same thing. I was reading an article about prison slavery via the 13th Amendment. Slavery's legalized. I'm not talking about metaphoric slavery, but the person, prison official or the jail official was saying that people are exaggerating. This isn't slavery. No one is being owned. And I remember what you said about, you know, ownership is really about control. If you control something. And I'm like, y'all are in control of those human beings in that prison. You dictate to them what they'll do and what they won't do 24/7, every minute of the day. You control those bodies. Yes, it's slavery.
Right. And you know, the thing, and most people will try to excuse that to say, well, they committed a crime. Well, here's the thing. The system created the environment, and they gave the letter of the law of the crime. Meaning, see, this is just like saying the U.S. is saying that Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, Venezuela are committing crimes against the U.S. And are they really? No, absolutely not. See, the thing about this is that they created the overall poverty within the community that will cause for so-called criminal activity. These individuals, most likely, if the system was sincere and not malevolent, these individuals wouldn't have that type of response. And I'm going to tell you, when you set up to create a environment where people are going to, when you force people and put people in a position where they would do things that they otherwise would not do because you're manipulating the economy, you're manipulating the resources, you're manipulating the overall accessibility to the essentials of life. When you actually hinder someone from succeeding, they're going to have a very, very malevolent response to that. It drives people crazy. And this is what the system is. This whole thing is flawed. Keith wanted to chime in, but Keith, let's go to the commercial break. You're going to be able to hold on to that until after the commercial break? Be 2 minutes?
Hope so.
Like Keith said, hope so. You're going to write it down. So listen, we got to go to the commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, just give us 1 minute extra, and then we'll come back out of the commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 76. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, I posted a video there. It's 8 minutes long. I wanted to just to surmise what some of the things that we were saying are to
give me a second
view and opinion.
Give me a second. My computer's running a little slow because I was working on some other things.
Chime in, Keith. If you could unmute yourself, you wanted to chime in on what we were talking about. Let me just mute myself and then bring you up.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
You know, the things that you were talking about, Scotty, and also Dave, you know, these conversations get overwhelming because you start on a subject and there's such a wealth of information behind that we're oblivious to. You know, we have to understand that we are dealing with an evil entity. I think that's first and foremost. I think that's one of the hardest things we have to do because, of course, you know, when I grew up, one of the first books we had to read was a book of psychology. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And basically what that said was, you know, for the most part, human beings are good people. And sure, you got your 3% at that time with 3%ers, now it's probably 10%ers. But people are basically good and act accordingly. Well, that's not what scripture says. And these conversations lead me more and more to it because it creates conflict within myself. I was having a conversation with my pastor just yesterday. And he says, Keith, your problem is you have to be more of an optimist. You can't be a pessimist. Well, what happens is I'm an optimist because I believe the battle's already won. It's already a done deal. But for that done deal to come through, everything else has to be destroyed for the most part. And the reason is because we are the ones that are destroying it. So I look at some of these things that you guys talked about slavery. If you go back and you look after the Emancipation Proclamation and all of that, you had a period of time which you call the mystic years, in which black people just started booming. They were booming. As a matter of fact, they were booming so bad. That's what Jim Crow laws came about, because they had a saying at that time that says, hold it, we have to emancipate the white man. The black people are got this scene of self-control and they've blown up so bad, this has got to stop. So when you start talking about your slavery and stuff, if you look at the time in which they put that loophole in there, that, you know what, as soon as you commit a crime, then you can go back into the slavery type status. Well, if you look at when that was done, the jail population almost overnight went from white to black. And then they start talking about this stuff being illegal and stuff. Well, overnight, when these gone, you saw a whole new influx of laws. Loitering came from that. Basically, they say, you know what? You see Negroes just standing out there, that's against the law. Put them in jail. You know, if somebody asked you that, a lot of that time they were telling their ex-slaves, look, we want you to come back to work for us. need the laborers. And the black people are like, I ain't trying to go back with you. You know what? Put them in jail. So you're seeing the same type of stuff going on now. And United States leads in so much of this stuff. Goes back to what Scotty was saying, also what you were saying, Dave, is if you look at the international community, and they talked about, we are a country of rules and regulations. What do they call it? Order. If you look at that, they say you might be. But the problem is, while you are passing all these laws just like you did after emancipation, you're violating all the international laws. So how is it that you're screaming and hollering about a world order, about all these countries come together? And this was the irony about this whole speech at the United Nations. Now, we're in a situation that we're in. And understand that the people on this radio show are in an elite situation, because you're getting the knowledge that the masses are not getting by any stretch of imagination. But what really struck me about was when I listened to Donald Trump talking to the United Nations, this idiot was up there talking about nationalism. Well, we're in the boat that we're in because the whole world is turning against us, don't like us, don't like our policies and our policies and the procedures, because we've been dogging them out for so long, and we got the audacity to get up there and talk about America first. Are you serious? But here's a real kicker. When that was the first thing that came to my mind, which was the most damaging thing that you could possibly do, I didn't hear a news agency over here address that fact. These are the questions we got to ask, because it's beyond comprehension from the point of view that we look at things. Because again, we want to look at things like, you know what, all, I'm okay, you're okay. Well, the Bible says, you know what, there is no good man. And this is addressing it, because if you look at the things that we're doing, ain't none of it good.
Yeah, Keith. well said, because it's all a real sham, and it's bad, because when you listen to what they're, because they, remember, we always say this, they always tell you before they do it, and they definitely wanted to have this message out, and that was nothing more than a nationalistic Nazi speech that you heard day in and day out.
Hey, David.
Day in and day out. So I think Scotty said Roz wanted to
no,
chime in.
No,
Roz,
I'm sorry. That was I'm sorry. I got the fact? Numbers confused, and that was
okay.
Actually
yeah.
Keith's open. But that I want to say to Keith, though, I'm posting it now, man. Wednesday night is like, Wednesdays are one of our most busiest days, and I often don't get the podcast posted till the next day, which I'm doing that now. The things he was just talking about, that golden period after emancipation, we were talking about last night on New Abolitionist Radio. Max had pulled up a lot of research on felony disenfranchisement when it comes to voting, and the things that Keith was just talking about, that golden period, and then they were, oh, wait a minute, there's too many black people getting elected, there's too many black people prospering, we got to do something about that. And so, yep. You know, that led us to convict leasing, what Keith was just talking about,
yep.
Without naming it. But Keith, if you get an opportunity later on, I think you will find that we're on the same page. We were discussing this on New Abolitionist Radio last night, and I'm working on getting the podcast posted. But Dave, I do have your video ready when you're ready.
Yeah, let's go to that video real quick. Listen to, this is Chris Hedges, and just how he surmised what's happening, or his overall summary of some things that's happening. And we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you a quick, what I think is really going to happen here. And it's not good, so, but it's good for those that are prepared. Listen to Tando Radio Show. Go ahead, Scotty, let's hear this.
Trump is is dishonest. I mean, Trump has only fueled the kleptocracy.
Well, let me pick up on that, because you mentioned a bunch of important institutions in American society in the midst of that answer, and I want to pull a quote from the book here that deals with that. Sheldon, if you would, bring this graphic up. The most ominous danger we face comes from the marginalization and destruction of institutions, including the courts, academia, legislative bodies, cultural organizations, and the press, that once ensured that civil discourse was rooted in reality and fact, helped us distinguish lies from truth, and facilitated justice. I saw a poll recently, I bet you saw it too, in which Republicans were surveyed, and 93% said, if Donald Trump says it, I believe it.
Yeah.
I think the same poll showed those same people saying, if someone in my family says it, only 63% of people believed it. They believe the president more than they believe their own family. 80% of Republicans think that what's in the Wall Street Journal is not credible. 80% of Republicans don't believe the Wall Street Journal even. In that America, what hope do empirically provable facts have?
Well, you pinpointed something that's very ominous. When national and political discourse is no longer rooted in verifiable fact, then facts are interchangeable with opinions. Truth is whatever you want it to be. And I write in the book about the nature of the permanent lie, that all politicians lie, all governments lie, as I.F. Stone said. But they lie for expediency. So, for instance, Bill Clinton argues that by passing NAFTA, there will be many more American jobs, good jobs. Bill Clinton doesn't make that argument anymore because it's false, and who knows whether he knew or didn't know, but it's false. With a permanent lie, reality, facts, doesn't matter. So Trump wins by a landslide. Trump has the largest inauguration crowd in the history of, you know,
First guy to win Wisconsin in 50 years.
It's endless.
Not true.
Right. It's endlessly, but it doesn't matter. And then you have media platforms that, like Fox News, that will propagate or disseminate these lies uncritically. And that has corroded discourse in the United States. The institutions in a functioning democracy, you have institutions, and you cited them, the courts, academia, the press, that their job is to make sure that people speak about a verifiable reality. Those institutions have become corrupted, weakened, destroyed, or replaced with systems Fox, Breitbart, all of these right-wing propaganda outlets masquerading as news. The court system has been taken over and is now being finished off with appointments from the Federalist Society, which is this ideological right wing. So, it creates a kind of schizophrenia where you may see reality in front of you, but reality is denied by the power elites and by the organs, the media platforms that disseminate the opinions of the power elites, and that really begins to sound like descriptions of totalitarianism someone like Hannah Arendt would write about.
I don't want to let the clock get too far away from us here without giving you an opportunity to speak to what you see as the prescription for getting America out of this farewell tour. And here's just a few of the ideas that you advance in the book: a $15 minimum wage, a ban on for-profit health care, a dismantling of nuclear weapons, ending trade agreements, giving citizenship to undocumented workers. What do you think implementing that menu of policies would change?
I think that it's about reintegration. So it's about taking this huge dispossessed segment of the American population and reintegrating them into the country. And of course, the opposite is happening through programs of austerity, slashing welfare. The original welfare program, which was cut by Clinton, 70% of the recipients were children.
I mean, it's called AFDC.
Yeah.
The C standing for children.
Yeah. Well, and the children were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been now a further slashing of availability of food stamps. So you're taking a population in distress, and you are exacerbating that distress. So I wrote a book about the Christian right called American Fascists, and I came to the conclusion after 2 years of writing that book that the only way to battle the Christian right, which I see as a kind of Christianized fascist force, and I speak as a seminary graduate.
We should point that out. You're a reverend
in the Presbyterian Church. I am, yeah.
You are the Dr.
That's
Reverend.
Right. That's right. So
Christopher Lynn Hedges.
The importance, I believe, to countering the magical thinking of the Christian right was rooted in the economy, in reintegrating them into the economy, giving them the kinds of jobs, the unionized jobs, that were once available, where you had job security, job safety, a pension plan, medical benefits, and a salary that could sustain a family. That's all gone. And by making it worse, we are pushing larger and larger parts of the population into the embrace of demagogues, hate groups, or seeing them engage in behaviors that are willfully self-destructive. Suicide, for instance, the highest rate of suicide in the United States are middle-aged white men who realize that there's no place for them anymore. Yeah. And I quote Pope John Paul in his encyclical on work, work is not just about the exchange of labor for wages. It is about status, dignity, self-respect, the ability to find a meaningful place in society, and we're not doing it. And the longer we don't do it, the worse it's going to get.
Here's another quote from the book. Politics is a game of fear. Those who do not have the ability to frighten power elites do not succeed. The platitudes about justice, equality, and democracy are just that. Only when ruling elites become worried about survival do they react. Appealing to the better nature of the powerful is useless. They don't have one. I guess I need to ask you whether you are actually advocating the violent overthrow of the United States government.
No, I'm strongly opposed to violence as a
mechanism. Okay, let's take the violent out of that sentence. Are you advocating the overthrow of the United States government?
I'm advocating the overthrow of a corporate government. I'm advocating the reversal of the corporate coup d'etat in slow motion.
How does that happen?
It happens the same way it happened in Eastern Europe. I covered the revolutions in East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Romania. It happens when people have enough. And
but how is it not? I mean, if the Great Recession, 2008 till whenever, if that didn't, and all of the corporate kleptocracy that Wall Street got away with there and how Main Street had to pay for it, if that didn't propel people to rise up, what will?
The next crash. We're getting one. I don't know when, but it's coming. And this time around, the elites don't have a plan B.
So what's it going to look like?
They can't lower interest rates anymore than they've already lowered them. We're already at virtually zero. So
what does that look like, that rising up that you see coming?
Well, we've seen glimpses of it. The Podemos movement in Spain where they surrounded the parliament. I mean, large numbers of people taking to the streets, obstructing the system. I saw it in Wenceslas Square in Prague, 500,000 Czechs. I saw it in East Germany, in Leipzig, and that was the most efficient security and surveillance state in human history until our own.
Okay, but I'm going to take a quote, if I remember it correctly, from your book, which was, now that we've got all those communists out of Eastern Europe, we can go back to the former government we used to have, fascism. Is that what's coming?
Well, America's already a failed democracy, and Trump has no ideology. It's an ideological vacuum, which is very rapidly being filled by the Christian right. And we saw it. He just had a big White House dinner with evangelicals. He has 81% support among evangelicals. And as Noam Chomsky says, you may want Trump out, but believe me, Michael Pence will be worse. The Christian right is organized. They have their own universities. They have their own media platforms and systems of indoctrination. They have huge amounts of money behind them, including the most retrograde capitalist in the United States.
So is that what's coming to replace whatever this is?
I'm a reporter, and I learned a long time ago that, you know, trying
Don't
to
predict
the future is a very dangerous thing. But unless there is sustained mass civil disobedience to put pressure on two political parties and a system that is completely captured by corporate power, then what's coming, I can assure you, will not look nice and not be good.
You've called this America the farewell tour, but I wonder if this is exclusively, in your view, an American story.
No. And we know from, you know, what's happening in Europe, Brexit, Hungary, Poland, which are kind of quasi-fascist states now. Canada's not immune to this. You also, not to the extent that we have, but you've had your experiences with mass shootings.
Populist politics,
but it's far more virulent and pronounced within the United States because empires are always fragile in this sense that they depend on the control of foreign labor, foreign resources. We have 17 years of warfare now in the Middle East, futile, endless. Meanwhile, our infrastructure is collapsing, crumbling. Public libraries are closing. Schools are, teachers have to buy basic supplies for students. Now we have this insane idea that we're going to train teachers in public schools to carry concealed weapons. I mean, these are all examples of a society that is completely unmoored. It is hardly unique to the United States, and it will have a ripple effect in countries like Canada, but it will never reach the extent of chaos and potential violence. But never forget that within American society, we are a deeply violent culture, awash in weapons. We believe in the regeneration through violence, this myth that violence is a form of purification, and that comes out of our long history of genocide and slavery.
You started with a revolution.
Yeah.
We did not. You did.
Well, we also killed 90% of the indigenous peoples in the United States and enslaved 4 million Africans. And we've never really confronted that, that dark aspect in American history. We cling to our national myth. And so that does make us different and more dangerous than Canada.
This is, if you don't mind my saying, a depressing book, but it is well-reported and a very important read. America, the Farewell Tour. Chris Hedges, really good of you to come into TVO tonight. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I highly suggest, I've been following some of Chris's work for years now. Chris, as well as through Pulitzer Prize winner journalist. He's gone all over the world and seen different things. And so it's very essential. And I just want to recap. Keith wants to chime in on some things. And then in the second half hour of the show, want to focus on what are some of the things that we need to be doing now, because it's high time that the whole world knows and is laughing at the U.S., But more important, the whole world realizes now that the U.S. is the cancer that they can't attach themselves to if they want to survive. And they're going to use that to momentumize more control over people globally. And how are they going to do that? The war is the greatest, greatest conduit to get everyone under that overall paradigm. So Keith wanted to chime in. Hold on one sec, Keith. Let me let you in.
I hate to repeat myself, but it goes back to what you just said, Dave, and also what they were saying in that interview. And that was a powerful interview because it really brings some things to light. But what really struck me on the end was he said, you know what, this is a great read. You need to read this book. However, it's depressing. And the reason why is because what he was talking about is so catastrophic. But I think what needs to be talking about catastrophe on that level And he wasn't even talking about the war that we're about to be facing on top of that. So if you put that in perspective, he was talking about how catastrophic the singular event was without even addressing the war aspect with the whole world coming down on us. Again, as a quote man of God, I'm optimistic from the viewpoint that the battle's already won. You know, I already know where I'm going with, regardless of what happens here. I know that I'm living in the price of paradise. But we have to understand that that's all fine and dandy, but we're here now and we still got to go through this. And this is why it's so imperative that when I talk to individuals, there are such a level of denial. Whereas on this show, like Dave, you always talk about, you got to be prepared, you got to be prepared, we got to be prepared. Well, we're facing so many things on these things that we just talked about. And then on top of it, the ignorance of the people. And then on top of that, when the people do get the information, they want to deny it all. Things are going to be ugly. But they're going to be a whole lot uglier if you're not prepared.
I'm with you, Keith. I am completely optimistic. And I'm not scared because I'm prepared. That doesn't mean that I realize that that means that there are some things that can happen to me, my family, and my community that are outside of my control. I'm okay with that. I realize that I can stand on my feet from the work that I've been doing with my feet, from the work that I've been toiling with my hands. And I would say that I'm optimistic, Keith, as you are, and many of you that listen to Tando Radio Show, is because of what your response to these things have been. And anyone that's not, that is afraid, is because they're not prepared. People that are scared, they're scared because they're not prepared. And they're scared because they're not doing the things, they haven't disciplined themselves to do what's naturally called upon their warrior spirit to do, because the soldier in them hasn't received the orders to move. But there is going to be a soldier's call, and it's going to be a draft. And a soldier can never do what a warrior thinks. A soldier can only take orders. A warrior maintains sovereignty and self-preservation at all costs. And how does a warrior do that? From everything that the great creator has given and promised to them that has never faltered or never gone away. It's when the warrior becomes the soldier is when you collapse. And now it's high time for our soldiers to become warriors. Else, you will die. You will die. And it's not just a physical death that we're talking about. There's a spiritual connection to this. When you actually sever the umbilical cord, or sever the communication between what is hopefully true from what the great creator has given us, and you accept man's creed, you die. Warriors and soldiers are two different. The warriors need to look at this optimistically, because you're going to have an opportunity to have more and have a collective prudence or a community of individuals that are self-determining, sovereign. And that sovereignty is based off of sovereignty. Most important to me with sovereignty is not making of your rules, is actually having the resources that will sustain you forever. It's a promise and inheritance to perpetuity. That's what a warrior protects. And that overall sovereignty is from everything that the great creator has given us to go for. And my man Scotty says, I'm prepared to die. Yes. This is why I've died to being a soldier. I'm nobody's soldier. I'm no one's soldier. I take no orders. So that individual of me has died. And now there's the overall quest to maintain sovereignty and self-determination. That is a warrior. And so I hope that everyone will understand the difference between a soldier and a warrior. A warrior, a soldier takes orders and compromises their moral convictions to follow that order all the way through. A warrior's never compromised of your moral substance. A soldier will know that something is completely wrong and get an unethical order in the expedient prudence
of winning the battle. And they say you're just going to have to do with these are the ills of war that you have to accept. See, there is no accepting of what's wrong unless you're wrong. And that's the difference. I refuse to take an order. I refuse to be a soldier. I'm not a trooper. I'm not a soldier. And I think that is very important for us as people, because in order for anything to change, we're going to have to use a different consciousness and a different resolve that we have to resonate in to have a different effect in our future. And that is incumbent upon us. Listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. In our last 30 minutes, if you want to get in, definitely would love to hear from you. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. My man Scotty says, I'm prepared to die. When you get over the fear of death, nothing scares you. So true. It's so true. And then when nothing scares you, there's a different way that you look at things. There's nothing that you, when you're not scared of anything, you don't compromise yourself because you see the bully as being insurmountable. You can't defeat him. I don't want them to do this to me. I don't want that to do that to me. That's a coward's tongue. And I'm going to tell you, a coward continuously dies. Continuously dies. So are things going to happen that are uncontrolled to us that we need to, that are going to have an adverse effect? Absolutely. But the most important thing is how you will respond to it. Will we respond to it from a position of fear, or will we respond to it? I say, okay, this is what's happening. Okay, this is my response to it. I'm invoking my sovereignty, my self-determination. This is where I'm going, and this is what I'm going to do. And what you'll find in that is there is more of a hedge of protection that's there, that's far more than any other place. So in this last half hour of the show, I think it's very important, very, very important for us to realize how important and significant we are. Can you stop what the overall celebrity figurehead governments are doing? Individually, yes. But on a major scale outside of you, absolutely not. You're going to need more help to do that. If you want to stop what the overall governments are doing to you, you can do that, and you can do that very quickly. But if you want to go far in that, you're going to need the overall assistance, support, and augmentation of many. That what stops the system. Just because the system no longer is meaningful in you as an individual, hopefully you're benevolent enough to realize that it's going to take energy from you to get it to move past just you. Because those benefits of self-determination and sovereignty are great, but what is it to have it alone? How sustaining is that? That's where you become the sustaining force of life, of the great creator's gift to us all. Because if we don't use those overall talents and ability that God has given us, we will lose them. And not only will we lose them, they will turn septic against us. They will actually be talents and abilities that will work in adverse to us. They will be the tools of chaos and dismay. So it's very important. It's much more than just about you and I and your family. It's more important than just, well, I don't want this to hurt me. It's really something about humanity. Where are we going to, and what is the pace that we're going to be setting? Very, very important. Very, very important. And if we don't do these things, guess what's going to happen? What happened in World War II will happen in World War III. What happened in World War I will happen in World War IV. What happened in World War IV will happen in World War VII. It's a continuous cycle. The only thing is that there'll be different people here that will experience the new world order, which ain't so new at all. It's anciently the same. Because we bought the overall program of the past, and it continues to set the overall rules of engagement today. It sets the written law. It sets law. And I'm really seeing there's an article out of the Hill, and I would ask you all to go to YouTube and listen to the speech that celebrity figurehead Trump started with originally in the beginning at the UN General Assembly, when he talked about, in a very narcissistic way, and if he's the only one that you, if you invoke, if you hear, he talked about I, me. That's the seed of destruction. And that I, me is being purposely showcased because the I, me is ruling the dictation of what's going to happen next. He came off and he talked about his accomplishment, and they laughed at him. And that laughter was really there as the overall pretense to telling you what's going to happen. That laughter meant that they are going to totally destabilize and engage the U.S. geopolitically, economically, militarily, culturally. And there's an article that celebrity figure that the Hill has, and it says, celebrity figurehead, and I always say celebrity figurehead, that's me saying that, Trump on laughter during the UN speech. They weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me. This is what he said yesterday. They weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me. No. What they were doing was this. Their laughter was murmuring. The murmuring against the U.S. was so great, and the laughter in the beginning is actually evident to it. And here's the problem with that. That murmuring of nations is going to be against you and I and our community, not going to be against Trump. They laughed, but what they were doing is that they had already murmured and talked about how dangerous the U.S. is to the rest of the world. And they've already made decisions that we're going to have to deal with the U.S. so that when this celebrity figurehead came up there and he said, I, they laughed. Then they took the opportunity to laugh out even more to disguise the murmur. They were disguising the murmur because they're not ready for you to know that they're coming. But they are. And they don't distinguish. The system does not distinguish one group of people against another. They equally hate everyone. They use the momentum of controlling and dividing people for their overall love of power. They don't love. They don't know the power of love. They just love power. And they're going to use that to garnish the overall energy that's necessary to keep them entrenched. So celebrity figurehead Trump said on Wednesday, yesterday, while world leaders laughed during his speech at the UN the day before, they weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me. We had fun. They were not laughing at me, Trump told reporters during a press conference. I listened to it, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Just told me of how close everything is. So the fake news people laughed at the president. He added, they didn't laugh at me. People had a good time with me. We are doing it together. During the opening remarks of his speech on Tuesday, Trump boasted on that his administration had accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of the country in the first 2 years. The audience members began to chuckle. They weren't that chuckle was an In my opinion, that chuckle was evidence of the murmuring that they had been taking place in behind-closed-door secret meetings to neuter and purge the world of the U.S. And the laughter grew louder when Trump said, so true.
Trump then smiled and paused before adding, "I didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay." And they all burst out into, and this is me, they all burst out into a laugh. Let me show you why. The system is Donald Trump. The system, the system looks at us as Donald Trump. The system looks at every single person on this planet as another Trump. And what they did is that when Trump spoke, they laughed. Here's what happened. He went off and he this is my overall commentary on this. Soon as Trump gave that I speech and how great his administration had accomplished those things in under 2 years and how he's the greatest administration, they all chuckled at that. Because he was serious, and that was their serious response to him. And then he heard them laugh. And once he heard them laugh, he said, "No, it's true." And then he realized that, oh, shoot, I didn't expect that reaction. And he spoke because of his narcissistic viewpoint. He didn't expect that anybody would laugh at him on such a stage when he was giving his overall truth, but it's true to him, but it's not truthful. It's a big difference. And then that's when he said, "I didn't expect that reaction," and that's when they laughed at him. And let me show you how crazy and how detached Trump is. He took that as they were laughing with him. But see, the world looks at us and the system looks at us as Trump. Because time and time again, we boastfully think something that is nowhere near the truth when the murmuring of everything is right before us. And we ignore it. We become so psychologically detached from the truth. And because of that, we live in a fantasy. This man lives in a fantasy. And as an egotistical, narcissistic fantasy that he lives in, it's no wonder in today's world that the selfie age is at this time. It's appropriate, and it has actually inundated our overall culture and our overall people throughout our communities. And there's not that there's something wrong with Trump. Trump is nothing more than a mirror image of how everyone else on this planet really, really acts. Because we refuse to see the truth of our hypocrisy. Thank you, Keith. I get tongue-tied. But more important, our willful ignorance. We reject truth. And that rejection of truth always has a consequence. And when you reject truth over and over again, there actually comes a personality that will come over you. And that narcissistic personality comes over you to where you see everything that you do as right. And that's where the system exactly wants you to be. That's exactly what the system wants, because then we'll perpetuate wars upon wars. Then we'll perpetuate, yes, revenge on revenge. And then we'll perpetuate me over them. And then we'll perpetuate it's us versus them. And not realizing that the system has indoctrinated and taught us to be selfies. Selfish and of self nature. When the system is able to institutionally diminish you to that, then you become a slave that can never leave. You'll be a willful participant. And everything that you see and everything that you do it for, it's because it's right. And you don't even see the evidence wrong that's right there. And that type of individual is unreachable. Trump is unreachable. So many of our people are unreachable. Because we realize something. that the truth could be whatever it is that we say. And the truth doesn't need us. We need the truth. And this is where we come into a fantasy, where we become fanatics, where we can think that we can jump off a building and defy gravity because we had the right of way. And this is a mentality that's being spread in our communities. And they're setting up all of the overall events to fortify that type of thinking. And I would just hope among you that you will realize that this system means us nothing that is well. It is the problem. It is the symptom of the real root cause. Because the real root cause of everything is our acceptance, is our participation. If we no longer participate in this system, it can no longer flourish. The institutions will fall. The doctrine teachings of it will subside. The wounds of it can become healed. The overall disenfranchisement can turn into prosperity. But that's going to take an overall effort by you and I to say, we realize what your game is and we no longer going to play it. Because if we continue to play these games, we will continue to be disenfranchised, wars upon war, illnesses upon illnesses, and we won't be sustainable. So listen, everyone, we got to get ready to get out of
Dave,
here. Never before, goodbye, as always. We'll see you later.
Dave, before you close out, man, just...
Scotty, yes.
Yeah, one comment about that. The people that we were talking about earlier, like Chris Hedges was talking about, and Chris Hedges was being codified. He knows it's going to take a violent revolution. He knows that, but he wasn't allowing himself. And I'm not saying the person questioning him was trying to set him up. But you don't ask somebody, are you saying that you're advocating for the violent overthrow of the United States government?
Thank you,
Scotty. You know, read between the lines, dude. What, you want him to hang himself with his words so that they can come after him?
Right, Scotty.
But we know, and when he talks about these other revolutions, ain't no revolution came about nonviolently. It depends on what kind of revolution you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because people use,
exactly,
different words. But if we're talking about getting rid of dissolving, let me put it this way. If we're talking about dissolving the corporation of USA Inc., they're not willingly going to go. And we may have a difference of opinion, Dave, on this, but regardless of our participation or not, they're going to do what they're going to do. Okay? The victims, the African victims that he talked about, they weren't participating in anything. Okay? They didn't. They were just, hey, going about their daily lives, and they ended up over here enslaved. A lot of us, people that are in prison, you know, they weren't doing anything to harm anyone else, okay? You know, they were just going about their daily lives when a slave catcher came across them and planted some crack on them and you know, put them in the prison slavery. So understand what you're saying about participation, and that can work with certain institutions or whatnot. But if we're talking about USA Inc., whether we participate or not, which we are participating, unless we're going to, which I don't know how one would go about not paying taxes, because they take it from you, especially if you're employed by somebody else. You know, they are already taking the taxes. Our participation on that level is forced. So I'm like, you know, when are the people going to have enough? Say we've had enough. And
right.
Then there's going to be a second revolution on this continent, you know, to dissolve the corporation and start something more, you know, that's conducive to humanity, a more humane system.
Yeah, Scotty, you and I aren't, we are much closer in our thoughts than, yes, I know that there's going to, I will say this, there is going to be a violent reaction. One of the violent, and I say it from this standpoint, the violent reaction is you're going to have to go against, and it's going to take a violent inner energy to actually defeat what you've been taught to do. There is going to be violence. There's definitely going to be violence. And now I'm not advocating anyone not defending themselves at all. No, that's beyond. That's not what I'm saying. And so our overall viewpoint on how things will transpire are much more in line. You know, I recognize that and I know that. But I totally agree with you. You can't ask Chris Hedges you can't ask any person that type of question, and it's unresponsible for the overall, you know, interviewer. But if the interviewer has said, hey, I'm going to ask you this, that they told you that, you know, they knew that they're going to ask you this and that so that they wouldn't catch you off guard, so that you knew what it was, so that there could be between the line conversation that's being said there. So that could be it. I don't know, but I'm with you. I was like, how can you ask that man that? In knowing, because all of us, like you, Scotty, and Keith, and a lot of the individuals that know what's going on, they know what type of, when a person asks them a type of question, what their intent of that question really is, and they respond to that in the appropriate way. Just because somebody asks you a question doesn't mean that you owe them any of the truth.
Right, you gotta be codified.
Just because someone asks you a question doesn't require that you give them an answer. If you give them an answer, that's your choosing. Is it always wise to answer something?
Yeah, time, place, it's a time and place for everything. And so,
everything.
Yeah, it's not that he's being cowardly in deflecting the question, it's he's being smart and astute. And, yeah. You know, if I want to continue to educate the people and not end up on the prison plantation, then, you know, I just can't say what I'm really thinking.
Right.
Not in that form.
I won't be able to use this platform in a convenient way to do it. Exactly. So much love, much respect. We gotta get ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.